Technology, the devil and demons, and the subtopic is the general habits of demons. This is part four, and it's, you know, the other part is part 14. So anyway, I heard on the news today there's a group apparently called 764. I don't know if you heard about it. An online group called 764 that has been just been named by the Canadian government as an extremist network and a terrorist entity. Police said this group targets teenagers. They targeted this one teenager soliciting pictures of self-harm. And I saw it where she cut herself and took a picture and sent it to the group. I just stop and think about it. Who does that? What human being in their right mind does that? I mean, we've got lots of things that the devil, demons are doing, and we're too civilized to call it what it is. As believers, we know better. I mean, who does that? Who gets online and tries to get young girls, boys, who cut themselves and send them the picture? What would a picture like that do to you? What for? Demons. Demon activities. What that is. That's not all. The FBI says this group targets children on Discord. Apparently that's a gaming site. I'm hearing this and I'm thinking about all the fancy gaming stuff we bought our grandkid. I'm like, oh, brother. I'm going to tell his dad, watch out. Yeah. And so Discord and other gaming sites, and they go on there and they coerce children into sexual and violent behavior. Quote, pushing victims to create graphic content, child sexual abuse material, to harm family pets. Imagine that. Kick the dog. Kill the dog. Pick the cat and throw it. Yeah, who knows what they tell them to do? Why would anybody do that? If you're over somewhere across the world on a website and you're telling a child across the other side of the world to pick a cat and throw it against the wall, what does that do to you? Demons. Creating havoc to harm family pets, to cut themselves with sharp objects, and to attempt suicide. And did you know some of these young people have actually done that? And killed themselves? And so this topic, or this thing we're talking about is quite relevant. This is not 20, you know, back in the day of the Bible, back in the day in Bethlehem and all of that. This is happening right here now. We just haven't been as informed about it as we should be. Think of the word terrorist. What does that mean? Terrorist. I looked it up. An advocate or practitioner of terrorism as a means of coercion. I'm like, that's not good enough. That's not good enough. Now, you know the word terror, right? Terror. Terrified. Okay? So here's the Bible definition of terrorism. Terrorism is the use of fear as a weapon. That's what that is. The use of fear as a weapon. When you think about it, that's what it is. And then you think about the fact that God tells us, the Word of God tells us, that God has not given us the spirit of fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Well, if God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, then who is it that is genning up all of this fear and terrorist activity? There's only one other source for that. The devil and demons. Polite society doesn't call it that, but we are a spiritual society. That's exactly what it is. The use of fear as a weapon. And fear does not come from God. So I bring you that just to let you know that our what we're talking about is quite relevant. It may sound, you know, because you don't hear teaching on this, but it's quite relevant. All right. So we're talking about the fact that certain kinds of demons like to inhabit certain kinds of places. That's what we were talking about when we close. Okay. So you should be aware of places where you visit. If you visit the devil's territory, a temple, a shrine, you go to see a palm reader, read a horoscope, zodiac sign, all of that, you are opening yourselves up. Haunted houses, you're opening yourself up. Unless you have to for work purposes, you know, you have to, certain kinds of work may require certain kinds of things. But you're on your vacation and there's this, quote, famous place that is, and you just got to go see it. I wouldn't. You can do what you want. I wouldn't. Because you're opening yourself up, spiritually speaking. I tell you what. You see now, okay, look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Here's, see, the devil is, I mean, he is evil, but he's not, he's clever too. He's sneaky. One day for him is slew food. 2 Timothy 2. Here's a scripture. Here's a instruction here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. In other words, avoid strife. Okay? Because if you allow yourself to get in strife, you're leaving yourself open to the devil. And people fuss at each other. Just driving to the church this morning, you know how people take a lane and they're going slower than anybody else, but they won't change. They just won't. Bless God, I pay taxes too. I'm not going. Gotta go around me. And you don't want that. Don't you ever get caught in that. Don't partake of other people's strife. Amen. Somebody comes behind you, come and make it, as soon as you can, make it work. Let them go by. Let them go by with their strife. Keep your peace.
Amen.
Don't be talking about it. I pay taxes too, so I'm gonna. How do I know that? That's what I used to do. That's. That's what I used to do. I live better. No. You don't. No. Avoid strife. Why? The servant of the Lord. It's not talking about bishop and the apostle, all that. It's talking about you as a Christian. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, be patient, meekness instructing those who oppose themselves. If God peradventure, if they will listen, God can teach them something. Look at verse 26. That they may recover themselves out of the snare. So when you got into strife, you fell into the snare of the devil. Let's put it this way. You fell into a mouth trap. Yeah, but I didn't feel it. You see, that's the thing about it. You won't feel it, not at the time. Listen, read the rest of it. You are in the snare of the devil, but guess what? Who are taken captive, he will act on it when he decides. And you make sure you don't connect the dots. You don't know that this stuff is from all that strife you've been in. No, you won't know it. He will make sure you can't connect the dots. Now, this is about strife, but it's not only about strife. I read this to let you know, if you visit one of these places, that's exactly what you have set in motion. You are falling into his snare, and he's going to just lay back and take advantage of it when he wants to. He's going to call in the chips when he wants to. You don't want to do that. I tell you what, I refuse to even be, I refuse to be curious. I mean, I won't even allow myself to be curious about a fortune cookie. Okay? Mm-hmm. No, I don't want to know what's in what the paper said. I don't want to know. Fortune cookie? Maybe a fortune teller is trying to communicate with me. I don't want to hear what they've got to say. Oh no, I've got plenty of here to learn from.
Amen.
I won't allow myself to do that. And if I'm by myself, I don't have to go places to go eat where they have a big statue of some god. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
What is it? I came here to eat, not to worship. Amen. In fact, I just finished worshiping in church. I'm here to eat. I don't want to see some, you know, statue of some god. Unless that whole place has become what is that about? Now, I've done it with a group of people or something, but by myself, you won't go catch me there. Places, it's important where you go. Amen. Demons can affect a local congregation through its leaders. Have you heard about demon-possessed deacons? Who want to tell the pastor exactly what to preach? And if you don't preach this, I'm gone. I'm dead. Look at this. Look at 2 Timothy. Right. Look at chapter 4. Look at verse 14. Oh yeah, this can happen. Listen to this. Did you know the most faithful church member of all time? It is the devil. He never misses church. Did you know?
Man.
He's sure to show up to harass the folks who show up. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Some Christians wake up in the morning. I don't feel like it. Where's my cell phone? That's just as good. No, it's not. The devil never misses church. He doesn't go to church with a cell phone either. He shows up. Demons. Amen. And here's one. Chapter 4, verse 14. Alexander the coppersmith. Paul calls him by name. And this person was a prominent believer. 2 Timothy chapter 4. The devil can have influence in church. You remember that story about Jesse the Plumber, you know? Where he says he went to preach, goes back to his hotel room, and the pastor sends him. Two prostitutes. They're supposed to be church members, but isn't that a prostitute? Dumb ones too. I mean, if you're gonna do that, if you're gonna do something like that, you ought to do it on your own. How are you going to let the pastor send you to do that? You should know, I got to get out of here now. Right? And he just got through a hosting, Brother Duplantis. So here's this guy, prominent believer, and Paul calls him out by name. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. Where did he get all that evil from? The Lord rewarded him according to his works, of whom be thou aware. In other words, watch him. Keep your distance from him. A believer. Also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. He has tried to keep us from preaching the gospel. The devil, demons are active in church if they're allowed to be. That is, if they're allowed to be. So then, watch what you read, watch what you see, watch what you listen to, watch where you go to make sure you don't give him any room. I'm going to get you some toes. I know I am. Let's talk about music. Mm-hmm. Remember now, the devil was heaven's musician. Huh? Remember we read about harps and all that? And music is so powerful. Such a powerful, what shall I say? Music has a way to bypass your mind, your this ears, and get down to the core of your being. Which is why we all like music. By the way, we don't love music, we like it. We love Jesus, we love people. So, the right kind of music prepares you to yield to the Spirit of God. It does. It does. Look at 2 Kings chapter 3. Let me show you. Which, of course, you know, by now you can guess that the wrong kind of music prepares you to yield to somebody else other than God. 2 Kings chapter number 3. Verse 1. Now Jehoram the son of Ahab began to reign over Israel and Samaria. The 18th year of Jehoshaphat king of Judah reigned 12 years. Look at verse 4. And Misha king of Moab was a shipmaster and rendered unto the king of Israel 100,000 lambs, so on. It came to pass, when Ahab was dead, the king decided not to do that anymore. And King Jehoram went out of Samaria at the same time and numbered all Israel. Okay, let me cut to the chase. All right, so basically, want to go to war? Want to go to war? King of Israel, king of Judah. Okay, look at verse 8. And he said, "Which way shall we go up?" And he answered, "The way through the wilderness of Edom." And so the king of Israel went, the king of Judah, the king of Edom, and they fetched a compass, a 7-day journey. There was no water and so forth. And so things are not working out too good. Look at verse 11. But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not here a prophet? Let's go consult the prophet so that we can properly plan this expedition." Okay? And so eventually they go to see Elisha. The king of Israel was apostate. Elijah didn't want to have anything to do with it, okay? But look, okay, now, so look at verse number 14. And Elisha said, "As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would have nothing to do with you, king of Israel, because you are apostate. And then he said, verse 15, "But now bring me a minstrel." Bring me a musician. And it came to pass that when the musician began to play, that the hand of the Lord came upon Elisha. And he began to prophesy. The place of music and the worship of God, the things of God. Elisha could not, he couldn't sense what God wanted to say. But when the music began to play, anointed music, it got him to a place where he could hear God. So, the right kind of music will help you yield to God. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Here is a king putting not the Marines and the Army and the Air Force first, but putting praise and worship, praise and worship team first. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse number 1. It came to pass, after this also, that the children of Moab, of Ammon, besides them of the Ammonites, they came against Jehoshaphat to battle. So Jehoshaphat wants the help of the Lord. Make long story short, he calls a fast, they pray, And during the prayer, the Spirit of God came upon the prophet. He prophesied, and here's Jehoshaphat's battle plan. Verse 20. And they rose early in the morning, went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa, and as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army. Huh? They were in front of the army. Think of it. They were in front. And to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." They just kept saying that. "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." And as they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, of Moab, and Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. The place of music. The right kind of music prepares you to yield to the Spirit of God, allows God to work, okay? Which means that praise and worship at church is a tune-up. I've heard Christians say, "Well, you know, I'll show up when the message starts." That's like saying, "I'm going to pick up a guitar that hasn't been tuned and just go at it. I don't want to hear what you're playing like that." Praise and worship is a tune-up. Hallelujah. B.W. said, I've said it many times, bears repeating. Bill Winston. When we pray to God, we go to his presence. When we're praising, he comes to our presence. My goodness. Okay, the wrong kind of music, however, prepares you exactly at the right kind of music, except instead of yielding to God, allowing God to move and so forth, you're yielding to the demonic realm and making it easier for them to move. "Yeah, but I don't feel it." See, that's the thing. People are, "I don't feel it. We're not moved by what we feel. And the devil is going to make sure you don't feel it. Remember now, he picks the time when he calls the chips in. And make sure you can't connect the dots. So, that's another area we have to watch in trying to... this is why chanting is so prevalent in the old cult, right? They do a lot of chants. Huh? What do you think that's happening? They are conjuring up the spirits, the demons. Huh? It's music, right? Just the wrong kind. Same, utility. Same utility. All right. I have a few minutes left here. Let's talk about demons and sickness and disease. Oh boy. Demons and sickness and disease. That is their role in causing or exacerbating disease and sickness conditions. The devil is behind all sickness and all disease, directly or indirectly. Huh? Oh yeah. This world and the universe is perfect until iniquity was found in him and things began to go south. You remember in Genesis, God created almost every act of creation, he supervised it and made sure it was good. Remember that? And then we'll go to the next act, and it was good. And then the next one, it was good. And it was all good until the devil showed up. And God, Adam and Eve to sin. Let's look at it. First thing that happened when they sinned was fear showed up. Where did fear come from? It came from faith. Contaminated faith. The faith that was in Adam became fear. The faith that had been the devil became fear when iniquity was found in him. Genesis 1. Just remind you a few places where the Bible says, after God created, he looked and saw that it was good. And then, of course, the good stopped when the devil showed up, because the devil is evil. Okay, look at verse 25, Genesis 1:25. And God made the beast and the earth and all that, and it says, and God saw that it was good. See a couple more places. Well, let me just go to the end. Look at verse 31. Genesis 1:31. And God saw everything. I said everything. God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. That means no fear, no sickness, no disease. Huh? Nothing that hurt. Very good. And then chapter 3, the devil shows up. And tempts Adam and Eve. They ate the fruit. Verse 7. Genesis 3:7. And the eyes of them both were opened. You should understand it right there and then. Fear shows up. I know when you read it, it sounds like they were not afraid until they heard the voice of God. Okay, here's the difference. Here's the issue. Just because fright is not there does not mean fear is not present. Fright is when you feel it. I can be in your presence and you never feel me. If I don't say anything, you will know I'm there. If I'm behind you, didn't move, didn't say anything, you won't know I'm there. Tell me I'm not there. Fright is when you feel fear. That does not mean fear is not there. Fear was there the whole time. Fear is why they rushed up and tried to cover themselves up. So you should read right there. Huh? And the eyes of them were both open. And they were afraid. That's where fear came in. As soon as they seen. And they knew that they were naked. And they sewed the fig leaves and so forth. And heard the voice of God walking in the garden. And so on, and then they say, well, what would happen? And then they say he was afraid. No, fear was present the whole time. They only felt it after they heard the voice of God. And this is when bad began. With fear came everything else. Sickness, disease, all things messy. So I say all that to say, the devil is behind all sickness, all disease, directly or indirectly. All sickness, all disease is satanic oppression. Direct or indirect. No question about it. All of it. But for him, none of that would be here. Look at Book of Acts. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. This will nail that issue to you. Clearly. Go back to chapter 10, look at verse number 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Huh? Is that clear enough? For God was with him. So God anointed Jesus with power. He went ahead doing good, meaning healing is good. He was healing the people who had been oppressed of the devil. Sickness is an oppression. Every sickness, every disease is satanic oppression. When your ear hurts, when your tooth hurts, when your knees hurt, all sickness, all disease is satanic oppression. Directly or indirectly. You may have brought that on yourself, but the reason why you did, you attempted to do it, came from the devil, the demonic oppression. All of it is. Which is why you should resist it with every fiber of your being. The Bible says resist the devil. Some people are waiting for some creature to come down with horns and red and all that before they can resist. Amen. Now, it's important to say, and then I'm going to wrap this up. Jesus didn't always cast out the devil when he prayed for the sick. Which means that the devil is not always directly involved. Huh? But it's back of it. It's back of it. I just thought of something. Why do you think you have to have that next piece of pie when you knew you shouldn't? Where do you think that came from? Me too. I mean, you know, I'm thinking about what I did. Where did that come from? It didn't come from God. He's back of it. In fact, without the devil, we would be satisfied, we would be so satisfied with vegetables. Adam didn't eat meat. Did you know that? He did not eat meat. I'm not saying it against the Bible to eat meat, you know, we're blessed and all that. But if you go back to Genesis chapter 3, he gave them fruits and vegetables. And they were satisfied until the devil showed up. Lions didn't eat no zebras. Amen. The culture of death showed up when the devil showed up. And the Bible tells the book of Isaiah, when it's all said and done, the lion is going to live beside the sheep. You know. Alright, so Jesus didn't always cast out the devil when he healed. Okay, I'm going to do this and then we have to close. Look at Matthew 8. Because I haven't said what I said, it's going to be you see this. I'm not suggesting that every sickness is caused by the devil. I said he's back of it. But for him, that wouldn't even come into place to begin with. Matthew chapter 8, verse 17. Chapter 8, verse 15. Chapter 8, verse 14. Matthew 8, 14. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lay and sick of a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left. Huh? He didn't cast out the devil. And she arose and she ministered to them. Okay? However, though, there are places where, and we've read that before, where that, you know, in connection with a condition of sickness or disease, that Jesus cast out the devil that was causing it. So all sickness and disease is not caused by the devil directly, but he's back of all of it. And this is why Jesus didn't always cast out the devil when he prayed for the sick. But sometimes he did, and we don't have time to get into that. But we will. Right, this is my last scripture. Mark chapter 8. Now here's an instance where Jesus took him a little while to get the job done. More than usual. And yet, there was no demon involved. So we don't want to leave that impression. Mark chapter 8 verse 22. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, led him out of the town, and when he had spit on his eyes, put his hands upon him, and asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, yeah, a little bit, I see men as trees walking. Huh? You would think surely the devil was involved. Uh-uh. And after that, he put his hands again upon the eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and every man and saw every man clearly. Okay? So even an instance where he had to lay hands on this man twice, the devil was not involved directly. Okay? But again, there are places we don't have time to debate. We'll get into that next week. Whether in connection with, for example, blindness. Huh? A demon was involved. And guess what? If a demon is involved, no medical help will make any difference. It just won't. See, that should help us understand why in some cases, you know, medical help is just not making any impact because this is beyond medical help. This is it's a demon that has to be cast out or nothing's going to change. And we will get into that next time. Father, we thank you. Oh, I will thank you for the name of Jesus. Ooh, the name given amongst men, at the mention of which every knee must bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Demons must bow. Sickness and disease must bow. Pain must bow. Poverty must bow. Aches must bow. Depression must bow. Loneliness must bow. We thank you for it. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. My friend, do you know this Jesus of whom we speak? He wants to know you more intimately, be acquainted with you. He's been standing at your door knocking. Why don't you let him in today? Receive him today as your Lord and Savior. You have nothing, absolutely nothing to lose. Amen. I know. And there are millions, billions that know that. So pray this prayer with me and mean it sincerely. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I receive you now. I receive my prayer language. I receive direction to hook up with a local church where I can be taught how to live a victorious Christian life. Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus. I pray all of these. I believe I receive. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, pray that prayer, my friend. Merry Christmas. And look for the Lord. He will lead you to a local church where you can hook up with. You can come here, of course. We have plenty of room here for you. Until then, keep watching because we're going to be back here sometime next week. We love you. Merry Christmas.